Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey through the Bible broadcast. Now, of course, most of you know me as John Wesley, or Rabbi John, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be your co-host, okay? I am a Messianic pastor and rabbi, and our quest, as most of you know, and for those that are new, our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed to answer perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with Yeshua, our Savior, or most of you may know him as Jesus. Now, at this time, I have the distinct honor to welcome the second half, or the other half, of our co-host tonight, and that's Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, Rabbi John. I just want everyone to know that I'm glad to be a co-host of this show, Ask the Messianic Rabbi with Rabbi John. It is truly a blessing to share the truth of the Word of God, and we also you will hear us say Yah. This is our 25th show, and we will continue to answer the question of what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John, for our prayer. Amen.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Father, first of all, as we always do, but in doing so, we always do with a fervent heart and a desire to be right before you. We ask forgiveness if there's any sin or iniquity or transgression in our lives. Father, we thank you for the ability and the strength, the power of the Holy Spirit that you give us to be able to forgive those of sin, iniquity, and transgression. We thank you, and I thank you, Father God, that you also give us the ability to forgive ourselves, which oftentimes we neglect in the aspect of how important that is. So, Father, we choose, we make a quality decision tonight to forgive ourselves and to forgive others. We ask you, Holy Spirit, as we always do, to begin to move and lead us into the fullness of what you desire for this broadcast to be, and what is the very words that the Heavenly Father wants to convey, not only to us, but through us, to others. We thank you for that. In Yahushua's name, amen.
Amen. And so, as you all know, on this 24th show, we continued over in Acts 5. We were addressing blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And we were in Acts 5, 1 through 11. We stopped at verse 9 so that Rabbi John could talk about being tested, tried, and tempted. And from there, the verses that we went to as examples was Genesis 4, 7 with Cain and Abel. And, of course, this is an example of failing the test. And then we went over to Genesis chapter 22, verses 3 through 4, and that was dealing with Abraham who passed the test. And so, Rabbi John, I will hand it back over to you.
All right, fantastic. So, as so well discussed and summarized, was the fact that we're talking about, in reference to the Holy Spirit, we're talking about test, trial, and temptation. And for the test, which was the first bullet point, if you will, or subcategory. We talked about what the test was. We talked about the fact of what it looks like when you fail the test and what it looks like when you pass the test. Now, one of the things that I want to go into in this particular broadcast is the trial. So the trial never comes for those of us who pass the test. Whenever you pass the test, you'll never put on trial. Okay? I want to make sure that everybody understands that. Mm-hmm. Whenever you pass the test, you're never put on trial. If you are an individual, and most of you that are listening to this probably have a driver's license and know the guidelines and the rules pertaining to driving, and especially the speed limits, and know where to look to double check, if you will, what the speed limits are at any given time while you're on that particular road. Now, you pass the test if you see a you know, a police officer, let's say, and he is coming up behind you kind of quickly, you know that the test is whether or not you are speeding. If you're not speeding and you look down at your odometer and your speedometer, and you can kind of tell by your speedometer that you are within the guidelines of whatever the speed limit is, then there's no fear and anxiety and all of this other stuff that should come based upon whether or not you're speeding. Okay? So if you're not speeding, then you're not breaking the law. You're not breaking Torah. So therefore, when the police officer comes by you, he's not alarmed. He's not looking at any reason to pull you over or to really test your interior motives, if you will. But if you are over the speed limit, then regardless of whatever the unwritten rule may be, because for some of us we know if we're driving, you know, on the highway, the typical unwritten rule is you can go about 9 miles above the noted speed limit and you won't get pulled over by a policeman. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a legal right to pull you over. That just means that they have chosen to give you grace. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, if you are going over the speed limit of any amount and he chooses to pull you over, now you're going to be in a position, depending upon the police officer, obviously, to either get a warning or to get a trial date. Okay? So let's look at what happens for individuals that get a trial date in this particular case. We're going to go to Jonah. Okay? And most of you probably know the story pertaining to Jonah. In this particular situation, we're going to read Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 in the King James Version. And I'm going to go ahead and have Evangelist Tanita get that while I'm sharing some things, some important things with you. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you is that most of you probably are aware is Jonah was a very notable prophet at the time of that he was living. So much so to where Jonah was noted to have the very word of God. And depending upon what was spoken from Jonah, that it was something that would come to pass. He, in a positive way, had a very similar, if you call, reputation as the prophet Balaam, in the sense that the things that he said came to pass. Okay, only in that sense. Jonah, of course, had a better and a more intimate relationship with the Father than the prophet Baal ever did, which was part of the pitfall for the prophet Baal, obviously. But in this case, pertaining to trial, we want to look at verses 1 through 3 of Jonah, the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And if Evangelist Tanita can read that for us, that'd be a blessing.
Okay. All right, Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. I hope I said it right.
Amittai.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Saying, arise, mm-hmm. go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish.
Yeah, that's okay.
From the presence of the Lord. He went down.
Stop there for just a second, if you would.
Okay.
Stop there just for a second. Okay. So I want to make sure that everybody heard that. It said that, but Jonah. Now, whenever you see in the English vernacular a but, when God says, gives you a direct commandment or a direct order, you already know there is a problem in obedience here. Okay? And in this case, it is. In this case, the test was already, you know, he already failed the test. Matter of fact, he chose not to even take the test, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Because the test is, for Jonah to give a word of the Lord to the whole city of Nineveh. And it says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Now get this. This is the funny part. I mean, you know, it's one of those oxymorons. It's like, really? You're going to flee from the presence of the Lord? The Lord is everywhere. So therefore, there is, as David realized, there's no place to flee from him. Okay? So if you read this in your own time, in your own study time, just understand that he is not necessarily as much fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because the Holy Spirit is everywhere. He's fleeing from the obedience. He's fleeing from the directive. He's going in the opposite direction than where Nineveh is. The direct opposite direction is Tarsus. So in the natural and the spiritual, he has set himself up for a trial. Continue to read.
Amen. Okay. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
Okay.
That's
now,
the end of verse 3.
Whenever this is, I'm sorry. Oh, I was just going to say that.
That was the end of verse 3. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's good. What I want everyone to understand is whenever we are tested, and this is a perfect example, whenever we are tested and we fail the test, spiritually and naturally, it always takes us down. When you look at verses 2 at the and 3 especially, it says, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof. In other words, the father was going to give him first class, not business class, not an econo fare, but first class without him having to pay anything to fulfill the test or the command to go to Nineveh. Instead, he's going the direct opposite direction. He has to pay. Even in this natural understanding of him having to pay, we have to pay spiritually and naturally as well if we disobey and fail the test. And in doing so, you see the latter part, it says, and went down. In other words, it's going to take us down spiritually. It's going to take us down mentally. It's going to take us down physically. We are going to suffer for not being obedient to Yah. And it's imperative that we understand that. It's imperative that we begin to get that full grasp of what that means. Because in that particular case, what happened was, and what will always happen, is our will, our desire, and this is in the soul, because you know the soul is made up of mind, will, and emotion. So our will to do what we want to do diaposes, in this case, what God wants. No different than Galatians chapter 5, you know, verse 17, 16, 17, all the way up to 21, talks about the flesh, and it's not talking about our body flesh. It's talking about the soul. It's talking about the will of the soul. It's talking about the emotion of the soul. It's talking about the mind of the soul. Wants to do fleshly or ungodly things. It already has that desire, that taste of desire in it. And so, therefore, it wars against the Spirit, which is what we're referring to here when we're talking about operating in the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, blaspheming the Spirit. All of these aspects of things that happen against the Spirit realm and against the Spirit of God and against the Word of God is found in the soul realm, in the will realm. Your will decides. He's the gatekeeper of your decision-making process. So he decided, he being Jonah, willed to not save Nineveh, to not give Nineveh an opportunity to be tested and to pass the test. In his mindset and his ideology, he had already judged Nineveh and felt that they needed to be condemned for their actions. So in this aspect, Jonah is the one who fails. Jonah is the one that knows willingly that he's doing wrong but chooses to do it anyway. How many times have we, as individuals, run into the same dilemma, the same problem, where because of our own judgment, we have decided to do wrong. We have made the quality decision to not do right. Not always is it a situation where we actually do wrong, but even if we hesitate, you know, or be reluctant to do right, we've already chosen wrong. We've already chosen to be in a situation of a trial. We're having to go to trial, and when we have to go to trial, it's against our will in reference to God's will for our life, for what he's called us to be, what he's called us to do, how he's called us to act with others as well as within ourselves. When we run into these obstacles that we placed for ourselves, then we have to go to trial because someone has to pay the price for the disobedience. In this particular case, Jonah, most of you know the story. Jonah then, of course, had to, while on the ship, the father began to cause problems with the ship, so much so to where the ship was going to be destroyed because of, and solely because, of Jonah's disobedience. Now, what's interesting is that Jonah was in the heart of the ship, fast asleep, while all this ruckus and all this stuff was happening. He had to be woken up out of a stupor. How many times have we, by way of the Holy Spirit, have to be woken up and shown that we need to change our course?
Yeah,
have to recalibrate, you know, having to recalibrate the direction in which we're going, because that direction is inevitably going to meet our demise. It's going to meet destruction. But in this case, it's interesting because this case is no different than our case. When we fail to operate and walk in the fullness of every test that he gives us, not only does it hurt us, but it also begins to take collateral damage with others. Oftentimes our loved ones, because of our disobedience, begin to suffer instead of because of our obedience, have that opportunity to excel and to be all that they can be, you know, based upon the help of the Spirit of God in us, to help change the atmosphere, change the manner in which they, you know, are interrelating with one another. A trial is something that we need to understand that always comes when our will says no. When our will says no. Now, every single person on earth, we need to understand this is important. Every single person on earth is tested. But when they're tested of God, the test always references the love or the lack thereof that we are showing towards him in our obedience and in our desire. Whenever that's tested and it's found wanting, then immediately a trial, like with Jonah, like with Cain, and one of the areas that we're going to see here, like with Yeshua, with Jesus. Jesus failed a test. Now, that may be hard for some people to grasp, but he did. When, like what did we say before? We said whenever our will conflicts with the will of God, at that moment that our will conflicts and we desire or we choose to go with that will, we have failed the test.
That's right.
So where would we find in Scripture where Yeshua, where Jesus, purposely exposed a test, a spiritual test, which means it's within him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a test that he didn't want to do.
Definitely.
Well, we would find that in Matthew chapter 26. It's mm-hmm. The Garden of Gethsemane concept. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in that scenario, in that situation, you know, we run into a situation where he definitely, indeed, failed a test. He failed in the aspect of actually seeing, understanding, and being, and having the willful desire to die for us, because he knew what his purpose was. Yeshua knew what his purpose was, you know?
Yes.
And when we begin to see it from that aspect, you know, one of the things that we quickly realize, you know, is that, in fact, the test was one, you know, that he ran across and desired not to die. That's why he had to pray three times. Now, I think we're going to jump into right around verse 36. Let's see what that says. Verse 36.
Yes, that's it.
And I'll go there, too,
Rabbi.
While you're going at that.
Mm-hmm.
That is it? Okay.
Matthew,
all right, if you could go ahead and begin to read that for us. And that's chapter 26 and verse 36.
Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began mm-hmm. to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said
to
them,
stop there for, I'm sorry, stop there for just a second. All right. Whenever you're suffering something, whenever you're feeling sorrowful, whenever mm-hmm. you begin to feel depressed or feel the aspects of loneliness or any of those things, whenever your peace and your joy, please get this, whenever your peace and joy are being compromised, or you sense the results or the tremors of it being compromised, there is a war happening at that very moment with your will. Your
mm-hmm.
will is being attacked
mm-hmm.
by disobedience, by the thought of disobedience. And to a degree, the struggle is because there is a bit of desire do or to not do that which is expected, whether it's to do wrong, which in Yeshua's case, his desire was never to do wrong. But what did I say? I said, if you hesitate or have a thought of not wanting to do what is expected.
Yes, that's right.
That is the point at which you have failed the test and are in a point of compromise where you are about to fail a trial if you don't come up with the right result. And that's what was happening to him at that very moment. Go ahead and read.
Mm-hmm. Verse 38. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came.
If you stop there just for a set, if you can mm-hmm. stop there for just a second, because we know that he prayed basically the same prayer three times, basically. But Hebraically, what I want to teach you is that, you know, we know that we're a trichotomy, a triune being, okay, that we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. And in order to get and that our soul is made up of three elements as well, and that is our mind, will, and emotions. So in him praying three times, it's not that so much that he was praying because he didn't think God heard him the first two times. It has nothing to do with it. What it has to do with is that within his soul, he had to get the thought of being disobedient from a standpoint of not wanting to die.
Mm-hmm.
He had to get that thought out of his mind. He had to cast that thought down, that we know, you know, that we're supposed to cast down every thought and every imagination, okay?
Yeah.
And bring them to the obedience of God or the obedience of Christ. That's what he was doing because he enjoyed the thought of not dying. That made him feel very good about himself, okay? Not too many people, you know, in their right mind, would want to die, especially for someone else, okay?
Amen.
In this particular case, he was no different than any one of us. So he had to get it out of his mind.
Yeah.
Each time that he went to pray, he was dealing with a certain aspect of his soul. He was dealing with the thoughts in his mind. Then he was dealing with his own will the next time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then
mm-hmm.
he was dealing with what his emotions were doing, because his emotions were all over the place. He even said, he says, I'm so sorrowful unto death. That's his emotions, you know, just yelling, saying, no, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's his survival instinct that we all have. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
He had to get all three of those in check. He had to tell them to cease and desist from their desires to do what was not required and expected of them.
Mm.
That's where he was. And in order for us to pass a trial, that little piece that you just read pertaining to not my will, that is the only way that you're going to pass the trial. That's the only way that you're going to get over the top. Because that's the part that we have to do. That is the part that we have to do. Before we close, I want to share something that that really moved me tremendously today. And most of you have probably already seen it, because I'm not – there's certain types of movies, of course. You know, I don't – you know I personally don't get involved in or don't, you know, get connected with. And I felt an urge by the Holy Spirit of all things, you know, to watch a movie that I've heard about, but I never really sat down to take the time, to, you know, because I didn't think it would be something of my interest. And it was called The 33. And real quick, for those of you that haven't seen it, sorry, because I'm going to have to go into the summit of it, the main plot. But basically, it centers around a true story of where in Chile in 2010, where individuals, 33 miners, got stuck in a mine, and it was an impossible feat for them to get out of the mine, and totally impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were there, they were realizing this, and they were coming to the realization of this very thing. And one of the miners was a military guy, an ex-military guy, and he was there with all of the other miners. One of the other miners there was one of the staff, you know, safety officer. And this safety officer had the attitude of, with all the information, he had the attitude that they were going to die, and he knew it. He knew the impossibilities of everything in the protocol. And so he was instilling fear into everybody because they knew and they respected him for that. But this other miner, the other one I was talking about, the ex-military guy, not only did he pull them all together, he said, I refuse. His will took over, so much so, to where he says, I refuse to believe that I'm going to die and they're not going to come and rescue me. I choose life. And beyond all odds, with 3 days of food, 60 days later, they were saved. And it was a miraculous miracle in every aspect.
Yeah.
But he, not only did he will the perfect will of God, but he willed everyone else to live. Yeshua,
yeah,
in this aspect, is willing himself, knowing that everyone on the planet is counting on him, whether they realize it or not. That even everyone in heaven, to include his own heavenly Father, is counting on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's on trial. And he wills to live.
Amen.
I'll stop there and allow, and we'll pick up there. But will yourself to live and to overcome the trial. But next week, we'll talk about what happens when you don't. That was an individual,
Amen,
praise Yah, who did. But we will talk next week about an individual who didn't and what happens when that happens. Amen.
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 Ooh, amen. Amen. Oh, that was so great. I'm trying not to cry because I know I got to do the conclusion. But thank you, Rabbi Dunn. And it's very powerful because I don't know if we really, really understood what Yeshua endured for us as a Savior and Lord, but I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for what he did. So just for you all to know that the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have questions, you can email us at tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry name is Beth Hashem Ministries, and there are two websites in which you can reach Beth Hashem. It's bethhashem.org, that is BETHHASHEM.ORG. Also, we have a Facebook page, and that is located on www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. And that's spelled BETHHASHEMNISTRES. If you would like to attend the services, you can email us at bethhashem@yahoo.com for directions. That is BETHHASHEM@yahoo.com. Also, for those that may be interested in really understanding the Hebraic side of the word and how to apply it to your life correctly, we have a Zul College, and you can email us for interest in Zul at admin@bethhashem.org. That is admin@bethhashem.org. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it over to you, Rabbi, for close.
Amen. Amen. Father, we ask you to begin to give us a better understanding of how to properly use the key that you've given us. Each and every one of us have a key, and that key is the will, the gatekeeper. Help us to know how to use that key properly. Help us to understand how powerful that key is when placed in your hands or in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Help us to not leave or run away from the presence of what you're desiring to do in each and every one of our lives. Help us to embrace the call and the purpose, the chiastic structure of why we're here. And like the example of the movie 33, help us to not be so intellectually inundated with all of the reasons why it shouldn't work for us. But help us to understand and to realize that if I just use the key to the right door, the righteous door, that you will do all the rest. So, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for this word. We thank you for understanding better how to open the door and open the opportunities to be led by the Spirit and allow him to use the key of our heart to guide us into the fuller understanding of the purpose that causes us to always be above and never be beneath. in every situation and every circumstance. In Yeshua's name, until next time, Shalom, Shalom.